Welcome to Tonight in Mobile.
Hey, gang, you're rolling with rockin' Ricky Rialto, the voice of Kingston Falls, USA.
It's Tonight in Mobile.
Got my money?
Oh, yeah, I don't have it, sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. Where's my money, man?
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Engaging the people, the city, and all Port City Patriots.
There's a spot.
Signal this to all decks. All weapons to full power.
All weapons to full power.
You were born a boy, you stay a boy. You were born a girl, you stay a girl.
Yes, baby! Yes, baby!
It's Tonight in Mobile with John Young.
I love this so much!
I know you do.
It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolytes.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
Tonight in Mobile, presented by Neudrolix, with in-studio guests and your calls and texts. Tonight in Mobile with John Young on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I'm your host, Mr. Mobile. Many others have called me Chocolate Thunder. Boom. Listen, we got a caller on the line. I'm going to introduce what we're trying to do. Men United Against Violence is partnering with him to give back-to-school haircuts to young men. So, Trey, introduce yourself to the people. Tell us what you're doing and why you're doing it. Welcome tonight.
Absolutely. It's an honor to be here. Hey, everyone. My name is Trey. I am with Southern Style Studios Barbershop here in Mobile, Alabama. We are located at 4313 Downtowner Loop North. I am honored to be here. We are offering professional haircuts, beard trims, shaves, grooming services, welcome family-friendly environment. We're going to kick it off with, like you said, we're doing back-to-school cuts. We're donating $5 to every cut to that kid's school. So I will be reaching out to all the Mobile County school systems via email, giving the information, waiting on them to take partnership in that, and we will kick that off as soon as school starts back, shortly, probably before school starts back, excuse me. On top of that great community involvement we're doing first responders as well. So we want to give $10 off of whatever service the first responders receive, and I am just beside myself, and I cannot wait to meet all these community people and get involved with you guys.
So thank you, Trey. Why are you doing it? You know, we have a mutual friend, Edwin Seeley, that called me. I call him the prodigy. But what's your inspiration? Why?
My inspiration is just community involvement. If all of us come together and play on the same team, like, how big could our community be? Whether if it's schools, barbershops, medical, I mean, radio stations, you know, doctor offices, like, the sky's the limit. I'm just passionate about my community. I was born and raised in Mobile, Alabama, and this is just me giving back to my community.
Thank you a lot. Give the address again, the name again, and the phone number, how they can make an appointment. And listen, your shop is a one-stop shop for manicure, pedicure, waxing, shaving. I'm glad I don't need haircuts anymore. They're kind of expensive, but you're a one-stop shop, right?
Yes, sir. We offer not only just haircut and beards, like you said, hot towel shaves, kids cuts. We do women's cuts, manicures, pedicures, waxing, beard tinting, the whole nine yards, more than just the barbershop. Okay. And again, we are located in Mobile, Alabama at 4313 Downtowner Loop North. That is off of Airport Boulevard. And the phone number is 251-459-0025. You can always call in and make an appointment, or you can check us out on Facebook and online. That's SouthernStyleStudios.com.
Thank you, brother. We'll be seeing you. In fact, I'll see you tomorrow, right, at noon.
Absolutely. I'll see you tomorrow at noon.
Sure thing, brother. Thank you.
All right. I appreciate you.
Good night. Jerry Ripple, nobody needs you to remind me that I'm bald. Bald is beautiful. You know what I'm saying? And thank goodness I'm bald, because haircuts are going for $30 a pop now. But Men United Against Violence is going to pay the remaining balance. Trey is going to donate $5, and Men United Against Violence will pay the rest of it. It doesn't cost the child anything. And we're focused on boys. You know, Men United Against Violence has a strong emphasis on men and boys. And Hatter, we're not doing modern hair. Think about how yearbook photos of your grandparents were in the 1950s, the hairstyles, the haircuts they had then. That's what we're providing. We're not providing mullets. We're not providing mohawks, dreadlocks, plaited hair. We're not providing lineups on uncombed, kinky hair. We're providing masculine haircuts that are dignified, that require minimum maintenance. On my way here, I stopped by a store to get some compression socks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I need them. And this little boy, I guess he was maybe 10, and his mother had plaited his hair, and now it was unkempt because it requires taking it down, washing it, combing it out. But now it looks a mess because it hasn't had the required maintenance. So our philosophy is make it simple, make it easy, something that can be done. So we are going to pay it. If regardless of how many kids show up, we're going to pay it. The balance will be whatever, but we're committed to paying it because we want these kids to have some dignity on their way back to school. I know our summer campaign, thank you again, Susan Stieber at Lamar, is your children are your responsibility, and they are, and we emphasize that. We don't change it, but that's why we set the standard for the child on a haircut that the family should set, the home should set the standard. And when you have guys like Trey who are saying, I'm going to be, this is how all this came about. Every 3 months we try to come up with something. We put our billboard up, your children are your responsibility. And my good friend, Dr. Edwin Seeley, I call him Prodigy, called me, JY, I got this good buddy. He wants to help do something. He's a barber and he wants to contribute. He wants to do something. Thank you, Gerald Ripple. You guys sure are traveling a lot and you never bring me back any souvenirs. But Prodigy said he has a buddy that wants to help out. And I said, that's great because, you know, last year we did at Hatter. We did clothes and haircuts and none of the barbers showed up.
Yeah.
So now if you make it to the barber, and listen, his shop is on downtown or north, but his front door faces the rear of All In Credit Union, which is on downtown. So it's Suite C, and the front is a beauty parlor. But his is on the side, and his door faces All In, so that should help people get there. But I contacted Trey Pugh, and he immediately agreed. He said, yeah, what can we do? So he started off with doing it for first responders, giving a discount. But I said, well, while we're talking, how about this? And he immediately agreed. And he made the point that what if we as a community, as a city, work together? Instead of constantly pulling back and forth and tug of war, putting labels and areas on people and not realizing that we share this city, he's going to cut any boy's hair that shows up, red or yellow or black or white. Their hair is the same in his sight. You like that one, Hatter? Yeah. What does that say about people? And then the second segment come back, I'm going to cover a little bit more, elaborate. But happy birthday to Wendell Turner. Jason Ard, Gerard Rogers, John Thomas, and Heather Sterrett. Happy anniversary, 24 years, I think, to Justin and Samantha Farmer. But when we work together, we get so much further than when we work against each other or work selfishly. And that is the greatest weapon that has ever been used against working people is divide and conquer. We think because we cheer for this person or this team or this political party that we are a member of it. George Carlin said it best, it's a club and you ain't in it. And the moment we realize that, the sooner we realize that, the sooner we can start making progress towards changing it. But go by, see them, get a haircut. I'm trying to talk my brother into going, my brother's into going. I was unsuccessful. They don't like their feet being touched. But we're coming back to Night of Mobile with Mr. Mobile. We'll be right back. Thank you. Thank you guys for holding on. First, I want to say congratulations to my friend, my lifelong friend, and Mario Franks, Mario Pop Franks. He just posted on Facebook some really grand news. And I enjoy celebrating my friends as if their victory is mine. So congratulations to him. And just tell me when the party starts. Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pawn, 266 East I-61st. Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pawn, 266 East I-65 Sobish Road North, 251-479-GOLD or 251-479-4653. Ed, Sandra, Braxton, JJ, Dean, Carson, Emma, Juanita, Becky, and Dolly are there to help you with whatever they have. They have firearms, gold bullion, silver coins, silver bars, necklaces, bracelets, toe rings, anything for your bathroom, bedroom, boudoir. They have electronics, folding knives, instruments, musical instruments, guitars, drums, ukuleles, you name it, golf clubs, DVDs, CDs, VHS, maybe not so many VHS, but they have anything you need there. So before you buy brand new, check out Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pawn, 266 East I Service Road North. Hatter, will you read that message from Squirrel Ring?
If I can ever get this mic, it's hanging over here. I got to pull it over here.
Kick it.
All right, here we go. All right. I had to work with someone with the braids all in his face. I had to work close to him sometimes with tools or a flashlight, which meant his mop would get in my face. The relaxing of grooming standards was a ridiculous pandering outcome of the George Floyd nonsense, where businesses pandering and refusing to tell employees to get a haircut or even wear pants and belts properly with.
And I believe that is one of them. It's a greater symptom, but that is one thing. The historic value of BLM is negative. It didn't accomplish anything. It did not make people stop hating one another. It did not hold anyone up because the guy that was killed, George Floyd, was a criminal. He had a criminal record. He was committing a crime when he came in contact with police. The report from the autopsy said that he did not have any abrasions, contusions, or damage to his body that would contribute to his death. That's the truth. That's what the autopsy read. But because we got caught up in this social upheaval, it made a lot of people acquiesce and give in and just try to go along to get along. Well, it didn't work. So now we have transgressed into minimizing standards and accepting poor social behavior under the guise of being black. For many of you that do not know, it shocked Hatter when I told him this. Sean Sullivan's surprised every time I say it. I am an American who is black.
Yes.
Born here, fourth generation. So when I say these things, it is not me saying them condescendingly. It's me saying them with accountability. I am tired of this idea, this notion that every white person is racist and desires my demise. I do not believe it. I have very close friends that if when I was at their house and drank too many Coca-Colas, if their desire was to throw me off the boat or drag me into the Gulf, they could have. I don't want to start naming names because I'll leave someone out, but I have spent countless hours on cruises and traveling internationally with Aaron Spies. He lives in Raleigh, North Carolina now, and I'll go up and visit him. And if he wanted to harm me because of the color of my skin, he could have easily, several times. But he didn't. So I do not believe Paul Check, Chris Levy, Sean Black are racist. I do not believe these people that I've known my entire life, John Naughton, I don't believe they are. So you're not going to convince me that because of an incident, if Aaron and I have argued, just like I have with all my friends, but it never came up that we called each other by the color of our skin. One thing we agree on is that each other were a-holes. You're an a-hole. Well, you're an a-hole. You know, and that had nothing to do with the color of our skin. It's just that whatever the incident was, So BLM in their history has only been to make people think along the lines of the color of skin in every incident. That kid, which wasn't local, Carmelo Anthony, it stabbed a kid in the chest. A dozen people saw him stab in the chest. Black and white people saw him admitted stabbing him in the chest. But that's your hero. Why does this Black Lives Matter movement only choose criminals as heroes? In Mississippi last month, the lady was with a friend who was shoplifting, or she was shoplifting, and held her one-year-old son up in front of the police. Again, there's a lot that I could say about firing into a car when there are people, I believe, get out the way first and know what you're shooting at. But a mother that would hold her child up in front of a window, it's irresponsible to take a child with you while you're with someone committing a crime. For the sake of the child is, hey, look, I'm going to stay over here. You go. But that is a hero. People only stopped listening to her when she began twerking at her child's funeral, fanning money out. Now we see the mindset. So we don't hear about that anymore because it's exposed. So now the BLM movement people have moved on to Ocean Springs, where a Black kid and his friends went off and the Black kid drowned. And it's unfortunate, but you don't give the mother enough time to even grieve her son before the statements online began saying you shouldn't have gone off with them, you shouldn't have known better, why'd you trust them? One of my good buddies posted on Facebook, I didn't know I had so many racist friends, because people have chosen, without the facts, that because this Black kid died in the company of white kids, somehow they killed him. Well, no, you can drown or drink yourself to death or fall and bump your head. There's just too much to it. And I'm over it. I am sick and tired of everything being painted in the tint of color of skin. We've conditioned, BLM activists have conditioned an entire generation of Black kids I'm one generation away from integration and segregation. My dad lived under it. My brother integrated Shaw High School, my oldest brother. So I understand, I've seen it, I have heard the stories and talked about it. But now there are kids whose parents and grandparents were never under that subjection, and they're screaming racism. There are streamers and people going on television saying to white police officers, say you love Black people and hop on one foot to prove it. This stupidity, willful arrogant stupidity, and that somehow everybody's against you. I don't believe it. There were white people that helped the Underground Railroad. I think only 5% of the population owned slaves. And some of that 5% were freed Black people. And some of them bought slaves to get their family members out of slavery, but some of them turned a profit. Some of them had actual slaves. There were actual white people who said, I think slavery is wrong. The abolitionists, the whole entire abolitionist movement. A war was fought in America that ended slavery. The British fought to end slavery. Listen, either you're a good person or you are not a good person. The color of your skin has no interpretation of that. I am sick and tired of the idea, the notion that because someone is white, I should distrust them more than I should the Black teenager, carload of Black teenagers wearing sweatshirts and hoodies and 101 degree heat index and shiesty masks and pose online with pictures and smoke roll blunts while walking down the street. I just don't get it. I don't get how all of that always comes down to color skin, but when it's behavior. I don't want to live around it. I don't want to live around people who park broken cars in the yard and play loud music and have dogs that are off leash running up and down the street. I don't want to live around people who have broken windows that they do not repair, or trash in the front yard, or garbage cans so full that they overflow and the wind blows the trash down the street. I don't want to live around that. And that's irregardless of what color you are. It's culture. It's not color. People want to be around like-minded people. That's why we can fly out to Las Vegas with the rich-ass Levy's and spend a 5 days there with them. Because we think the same. And I'm just sick and tired of this point in 2026 that the people who are making profit, they're making merchandise off people. They are being given incentives and political. You know what? I guess I've been an activist for 10 years in the city of Mobile. And I've never, ever been offered a position on a board or a committee. I've been talked to, I've called about it, but never. Because I would actually do the job and walk down the middle of what is right. They can't. I can't pander to someone because of the color of their skin. I can't degrade someone because of the color of their skin. And these beat Black Lives Matter activists have set us back, and people that have willingly been a part of it. When we come back, I'm going to go in on white racist. All right? So that's enough of JY to go around for everybody. We'll be right back tonight on Mobile with Mr. Mobile. All right, we're back tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, and I was going on a tangent about the history or the remnant of contribution of movements like Black Lives Matter made. And it started off with us talking about Trey Pugh giving discounted haircuts and Men United Against Violence paying for them. I have to say thank you to Trip Pittman and Neudrolics, where Bob Slutter's the CEO, and Eddie's Wholesale and Jewelry and Pawn, and those aren't black guys. They're white guys that sponsor my show. And they do it because we agree on what our messaging is. So don't give me this BS that black kids are only safe with other black kids. If that were the truth, then you wouldn't have black women murdering black women in Mobile and black men shooting 17-year-old black boys in downtown Mobile. If this entire narrative of that white people are so racist that black people can't survive and thrive, then Pritchard should be thriving. The city of Pritchard should be a thriving city. Selma, Alabama should be a thriving city. Majority black population, black government, black elected officials, black police chief, fire chief. They should be thriving because they're absent of white racism. But why are these areas that have predominantly black populations and citizenry and government representation, why aren't they? If racism is the greatest detriment, it's culture. Black culture, American culture, has been overtaken by rap culture. Now it's identified as being black. Everything negative, whether it's not combing your hair, pulling your pants up, being loud, obnoxious, and violent, not speaking clearly, not enjoying reading or education or working. And I don't blame white folks for that, because immediately coming out of slavery, black folks did all of those things. my older brother, Bro Young, and I always, he said every friend he had growing up in the 70s had my dad and mom, all of them. And now that isn't the case. Now, to the white racists out there who look at the examples I've given and say, yeah, see, this is what I'm talking about. You know that all black people aren't the same. You know it. You've seen it. You've experienced it. You know all black people aren't trying to rob you. You know all black people aren't trying to harm you. But it's convenient for you to say that. It's just as bad as the victim tree. My shirts are being made now with the victim tree. But it's just the same thing. You are a victim of another type. And not that you can't get ahead, it's that these other people are taking something away from you, or they're getting preferential treatment, and they're getting something I want. No, you know better. But just like everyone else that I've described before, it's easier to blame someone else. Who was it? Was it Lyndon Baines Johnson that said, if I can make the lowliest white person think he is better than the highest black person. I'll drive a divide between them. And that's all that's happened. That you won't acknowledge that black people go to work and have jobs and have family. And I sound like I don't acknowledge it at times when I talk about crime and education. But I'll never say it's everyone or all of them or everyone all the time. I'll say when it occurs, that's who did it. But I acknowledge that there are people who don't. And you white supremacists, if there is such a thing, no one is supreme to me because of the color of your skin or how much money you make. God made us all in his image. And so that's the equality I guess I'm looking for. But there's no such thing as a white supremacist. You may think you are supreme. You may think because of the color of your skin or your Aryan heritage or because you follow this politician or you read this book and you recited what your favorite news organization has told you to say that that makes you supreme. You aren't. You put your pants on one leg at a time. Your knees hurt. Your back hurts. Your wife won't listen to you. Your kids. You're no different than anyone else. But what if people stopped looking at color skin and looked at culture? What are the similarities that you have with other people? That's who you are friends with. I can't be friends with a philandering man. I can't be friends with a thief, wife beater. I can't be friends with a man who's on the DL going with other men while he's married. We don't have anything in common. We can't talk about anything, dude. So it's all culture. It's what you think or perceive as important to me, family, education, employment, and discipline. If you think it is okay for a 12-year-old girl to be screwing and having babies, we don't have anything in common. If you think it's okay for your son to stay out until 1 o'clock in the morning and carry a gun and not come, we don't have anything in common. If you think your kid should look down on other people because of how much money they earn or don't earn or what kind of car they drive, we don't have anything in common. And that's fine. You find someone to hang out with, and I'll find someone to hang out with. But we have to stop saying they did this and they and constantly they. It's disingenuous. And the weird part about it is that if the term ghetto black folk and the white supremacists, white folks actually realize they're on the same team. They take over the world. Neither one of you wants to cut your grass. You park your cars. You don't think about family education or employment. You're actually a lot closer to one another than you think you are. The elitists, the wealthy people, aren't related to anything other than wealth. And they don't care what color your skin is. They just care how much money you have. So, and those people that I just described will never reach that level, that echelon of that level of wealth. Hell, wealthy people have gated communities within gated communities. A millionaire and a 10 millionaire and a 100 millionaire and a billionaire, they don't socialize. They let you come by, but they still look down on you. They have old money. These are the people who own the color blue. You won the lottery. So if we ever just realized what we have in common more so than we don't, maybe we could start getting things done. Listening to Cannabama, the show before me, listening to Jennifer explain the benefits of cannabis and understanding that corporations keep us from having it. They don't want us to cure or get well. They like treating our symptoms. Because if I get well, then they no longer have a patient. They no longer have anyone to prescribe medications to. If we had the standard food standards that Europe has, then they can't keep making us sick with tomatoes the size of my head. And I got a big head. Tomatoes the size of my head or fruits that don't have seeds. They wouldn't have just sided with Monsanto. The Department of Justice just sided with Monsanto, saying that they could keep using these herbicides that cause. We know they cause cancer. So we're in this together. But every time if these activist organizations, Black Lives Matter or some type of white supremacist organization decides that we're going to go and strut our stuff and go to Washington, D.C. and walk in circles while our faces are covered, then the division continues only when we keep accepting it. Only when we continue reciting what they've said. And we know it isn't true. We know they're lying. We know the government's lying. We know the government's manipulating things, insider trading, making themselves billionaires while our national debt grows by $1 trillion, $2 trillion in a year and a half, 2 years. We know it. We see it. But we want to be in that club so badly. We want to be a part of it so badly that we will socialize with guys who are providing prostitutes or providing child abuse. We want it so badly that we'll pretend it doesn't exist because we want in on it. The devil doesn't have to trick anyone into hell. There are people lined up willing to go as long as they can sit on the front row. That's the point we've reached. So the battles I try to fight is just spreading truth. It's just telling the truth. I'm very hard on black people because our violent crime rate, our dropout rate, our lack of education, our promotion of everything negative is an embarrassment. It is an embarrassment to see loud, obnoxious black people. It is an embarrassment to see out of control, unruly black children. It's an embarrassment because things were not always this way. Kids were not allowed to run amok or go into Publix and eat fruit off the fruit stand in the produce section and walk out with their mother. There weren't upon a time there was pride and dignity in class. The sad part is that the people who are responsible for teaching not to do that or teaching improvement are the worst violators. We learned from our elders, but now kids are as equally likely to cuss out an elder or disrespect their parent. And that's on us. So we're coming up on our final break. Tonight on Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I'll try to end this show on a happier tone, but it just depends. We'll see how it goes. Thank you, guys. We're back. We're down to our final episode. And when Trey Pugh is offering his time and services in an attempt to build community. And not just a community, Mobile as a whole. I hate things when we say phrases like the black community, the Jewish community. If you say a white community, that's racist, but everyone else is allowed to have a community. Last week, I talked about Pride Month and the pride, how dangerous having pride is. And one of my friends, I count him as a good friend, said, "JY, I didn't know where you're going with that, but thank you for your perspective." Because people have a right to live their lives the way they want to. So when I speak about principles. I rarely name people because I don't want anyone to believe I'm saying that that person is bad. No, how a person lives is right or wrong, or how a person lives is good or bad. What examples am I setting? When I'm dead and gone, it'll only be about 2 years before people forget JY. Your memory doesn't last very long. What will be the lasting effect? Even if people don't know JY did it, what will I leave behind for others to thrive on? It's like if you plant an oak tree and die, and then 50 years later, the oak tree grows and there's a swing in the oak tree and there are people sitting underneath the oak tree. They don't know I planted it, but they are still having the benefits of that oak tree. So And that often comes without recognition. That often comes without anyone acknowledging it or saying thank you. There have been times I felt very unappreciated for the efforts I was making. But I'm still trying to make them and trying to leave something further, trying to leave something more or something that will benefit people. And if we can get these some boys, however many shows up, get their hair cut, great. Maybe that's the seed we planted. Men United Against Violence, we have a message. Men United, go ahead, Hatter.
Daily struggles, prayers for peace and serenity for us all. Thanks for your voice.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. And that's what we should all strive, especially if you are a believer. Unbelievers are sort of given, or misbelievers, meaning they believe in the wrong thing. We just sort of have to give them their space until they maybe will prick the heart or plant a seed. But there is only the judgment that we believe in by the only God. And we will all meet that day and have to answer for what we've done. So that's my motivation. I like being left alone a lot of the times. I have to remember that I've been on television. I have a radio show that about three people listen to. And so when I'm in public, I have to make myself available and try to and be what I preach. I have to live it, right? And I don't shy away from that. We want a better Mobile. We want a more functional government. We want to see each other as human beings and as partners, if nothing else, in making our city better. Even if you don't want to hang out with me, great, but at least pick up the trash on your street. Let's agree to that. Let's agree to not speeding up and down the roadway. Let's agree to not parking broken down cars on our drive. Let's agree to not being loud and obnoxious in the public. Let's agree to those things. Let's agree to Lizzo not wearing any more spandex. Let's agree that that's driving up the heat index. Let's agree to these things. Let's just agree to some basic things. Because as long as there's guys like Trey Pugh saying, hey, look, I'm just trying to donate back to my community. And there are guys like Tripp Pittman who's saying we believe in strong families and we know that's the backbone and bedrock of our community. Let's all agree on just the basic things. That 12-year-old girl should not be servicing 20-something-year-old man in bathrooms. Let's just agree on basic things. That a man who sets up child abuse rings, we can all universally agree that that's wrong, and anyone who covers it up is wrong also. We can agree that our tax dollars should go to paving our streets. I said last week that when we had that, you know, we're in that time of year where we're going to have afternoon thunderstorms, but the same streets are flooding now that flooded 50 years ago. Old Shell Road at the train track still floods. It's pretty. But when are we going to do something about the drainage in the city? Why are we still having the same problems? Why do we have beggars and vagrants and bums on every major intersection, but there aren't any in Baldwin County? I know they said that the Supreme Court said that it's freedom of speech. Then why aren't they practicing their freedom of speech in Spanish Fort or Daphne? Why are they practicing it here in Mobile? We deserve these things, patriots. We deserve to have these questions answered. Why do we patronize and placate to people who decide that standing and protesting because justice just means fairness, it doesn't mean the outcome you desire? Why do we tolerate that? Can't we all unite and say, it's wrong to stab people in the heart and kill them? It's wrong to hold your baby up as a shield. It's wrong to shoot into a car at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's wrong to kill a woman, to kill another woman because of an argument over nails or weave. Isn't it wrong to look at someone and decide because of their appearance? And listen, I'm not saying that I don't have my biases. I don't like minivans. I don't like kangaroos. I don't like Michael Bublé. And I don't like seagulls.
Yes.
If I saw Michael Blue Blade driving a minivan with a car full of seagulls, I'd have a heart attack before I could run them off the road. I'm not saying I don't have my biases. I have them. And if they're listening to Lizzo on the radio, that would just send me over. But so we all have them. We all have our preferences. But don't demean or look down on someone because they have different preferences than you. Don't demean or look down on someone because they are different than you. Once upon a time, we didn't talk politics, religion, or salaries at work. But in many work environments, if you go into someone's office, they're playing their favorite news organization, just listening to the propaganda for the entire time. And that's dangerous because you don't hear a different perspective. And once you've conditioned yourself to your side, your idea is right, then even trying to entertain a different perspective or opinion will lead to an argument. People arguing with family members over politicians and people that don't care about you. I care about you. But people that have made merchandise of you, that when asked, well, what has this person done to make your life better? And you can't give anything, you can't name anything specific. So that's on us, patriots. The city will only be what we make it. It will only be as clean as we make it, as crime-free as we make it, or as great as we make it. It's on us. It's no one else's responsibility. And we should stop pretending that we can outsource that responsibility to people. Bob, you can get a kangaroo named and call him JY. I'm not coming over there. It's bad enough you have those killer horses running around threatening everyone. But my good friend Bob has a Zorse.
A Zorse?
It is a zebra mixed with a horse. That thing is all kinds of confused. But he knows he wants to kill a human being.
Oh, man.
I can see it in his eyes. I don't trust him. So I do not trust him. That Zorse is all kinds of confused, dude. And he made friends with the donkey and the mule they have. And it's going to be Animal Farm one day over there, dude. It's going to be Animal Farm. But that's the end of tonight's show. Thank you all for tuning in. I made it another week. We'll see if I'm back next week. Go by and hug JJ and brush Braxton's beard. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. We'll see you next week, hopefully. Bye.